This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Feminism in your ears. It's another broad podcast on Joy 94.9. Keep listening. Hashtag feminism, hashtag podcast, hashtag broad on Joy 94.9.
Oh, look at the time. It is exactly 10 o'clock. It is not Bite Me Down Under. For those who are tuning in now, it is Broad Bites Me Down Under. Because sadly,
it's that show tonight.
That show, chomp chomp. But no, basically, poor Beck. Beck, if you're listening, she may be listening. She may be hating us right now, but we do miss you. And for God's sake, get your car. Get your car shit together, will you? No, excellent. She does a great show of music and stuff, which is not what you're hearing now. So I'm going to try and do a selection of music.
Stuff. We could just do family matters.
Oh, you're still here.
The adults only kind of version.
It's like 10 o'clock is the hint. It's still exactly 10 o'clock.
Another 3 seconds.
Yeah. So we've got to do a little bit of
family matters
this.
After the children go to bed.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit of this. And then I've got a couple of interviews. What have we got, Jackie?
What have we got? We've got interviews with Philippa and Rachel from Echoes.
We've got
who was coming in from
Natasha, who's a friend of yours,
who's also Gina. In my short film, one of my most important
she
characters
said that
in the
she
background.
Was. She, you know, Absolutely. As she left the building here today when we did the interview, she turned and said, "I said, oh, Gina recommended you," and she goes, "Yes, Gina recommended you." So we were sort of like, you know,
matchmaking.
Flattered by
I put
Gina.
Together. That's my job,
putting
Actually,
people together
yeah.
and name dropping at the same time. And she goes, "Yes, well, I'm the best thing in Gina's film."
She's one of the best extras we ever had.
Yes.
Quietly in the background, kind of.
Was she quiet?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't imagine her quiet.
No. It was a noisy restaurant, so you couldn't hear
it. Oh, cool.
We didn't put a mic on her. I think that was the key.
No, she's fantastic.
She's great.
So we'll be, listening to her very shortly about Fred Bear. A little bit of this. And this is Broad Extended. Broad goes Bite Me Down Under here on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Anna Rose Holmer, director of The Fifth, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Yes, I'm Broad on Joy 94.9. It is a Broad Bite Me Down Under. Don't forget to message him. I'm sorry I can't do music requests. I might be able to do film requests, but as long as they're horror or science genre.
It's about time you learn about Freddy Krueger.
Look, I'll get
Induction.
There, guys. I'll get there.
You've got
Start
a lot of time
three.
To make. Really? No.
Actually, number one.
One to three is good. Number two is the gay one.
Oh, cool. That's good.
That's known
good
as
know.
The gay one.
The gay one.
The gay one. And that's just the gay one. And
number three is the hospital one, isn't it?
Number three is the cool one for the mentally unwell patients.
Well, speaking that you're into like the sci-fi and whatever, did you see that there's
Patricia Arquette.
There's a new... game coming out, but it's like the Friday the 13th, and it's actually the guy who played Jason Voorhees. He is actually his body and everything. Like he's actually moving and whatever. It's really slasher, really whatever.
Sounds fun.
And it's like true to the story. And you're a camp kid.
You know, that's what I would love to do. That's what I do on holidays to relax.
go to scary camps, dress like Jason,
and watch slasher movies to chill.
I thought you were going to say you serial kill people.
Don't do that, Sonia. I saved myself.
In her mind.
Well, why do you think I left New Zealand?
Oh, my God.
No, seriously. I watch horror movies to relax. And it's true because I went to the doctor once. I had heart blood pressure or something. And they said, right, we want you to wear this monitor over the weekend. You know, it was a long weekend. We want you to wear this monitor. You know, don't take it off. I'm like, oh, God, that's going to be fun. So here I am carting this thing around, you know, battery pack. It looked like I had one of those money, you know, like a bag belt thing, bum bag. And it's this contraption. Thankfully, it didn't make any noise. And I went to see, there was a double feature or something, a triple feature. I think, I don't know if it was a Scream franchise or something. something like that. But it was fun and relaxing and entertaining. And then on Monday, I had to take the machine back, or Monday or Tuesday morning, took it back, and the results came back Wednesday. And they said, look, you've got to come in. We need to speak to you urgently. And I went, I'm going to die. I've got only moments to, oh, my God, I'm going to die. That's it. It's going to, my heart's going to just explode. That's what they're going to tell me. I need a new one or something. Or I've got two or three or I haven't got one. I've always been told, no, you've got no heart, Sonia. So I go into the doctor and he looks at me and he looks at the results and looks at me and goes, I just want to know, what were you doing between, there's just this anomaly. We're not quite sure how this is, but what were you doing at 7.30 p.m. Friday, and it was the Friday of the day, and Saturday 4 or 5 a.m.? I said, oh, I was watching this, triple feature, been watching horror films. And they go, really? And I go, yeah. And the doctor goes, oh, well, this is not the sort of result we would expect. Because apparently my heart was at a resting rate for someone who was at a resting rate after having a workout. And then it was just the lowest blood pressure it's ever been, the calmest.
We recommend you watch horror and slashers.
They gave up. Lord. They just looked at me and went, you're making this shit up. I said, no. And they go, okay, we don't really want to go any further and explore in your life and find out why you have a problem. So that's the truth.
See, and then the average person like me, when Ring came out, I remember watching this.
Ringu.
And I didn't actually go to sleep that night. I actually covered the television with the blanket.
Guess what? There's another one coming out. Have you heard? Rings.
I grew up watching far too many horrors when I shouldn't have been watching horrors.
They've done you well.
Well, then I had a few too many, supernatural close calls that then made me go, right. Not watching another horror ever again.
I spent much more time reading books, so I've clearly missed out here.
No, you haven't. No, you don't want to end up like Gina.
Oh, no.
She'll educate you, don't worry.
We'll get there.
Oh, well, look, thank you for coming in.
Pleasure.
Oh, thanks for having us.
But we have
thank
to move on now. That's what we've got to do. I'm going to play this one. This is by Spice. It's called Needle Eye. I have no idea what it's about, but she is a Jamaican dancehall artist, and I believe if Natasha is listening, which she won't be because her show's on tonight, it started tonight, that's Threadbare, I know she's a big dancehall fan, whether she likes Spice or not. Sorry, didn't get around to asking you, Natasha. But I'll this will me. Just have to do. No, I think she's actually... I
yeah,
think
she'll
show
be on show.
On. Yeah, don't text
no,
her.
No, I won't text her.
I wouldn't like
Well, she shouldn't have her phone on.
No, I know, but people have their phones everywhere.
I know, because she is organising.
Never say that. Never say, they won't have their phone on at 2 in the morning. Yes,
rubbish.
They will. Don't you disturb me. I'm right in the middle of Spice, Needle Eye. This is Broad. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Michelle and Gina here on Broad.
By Mia Down Under.
Tight and good, me hold tight and good. The needle I pump, pump. The needle I pump, pump. Tight and good, me hold tight.
Hey, yeah, the needle I pump to shut down. So now it's for tonight.
I'm feeling it tonight.
But for you, some first and get some man.
Come on, bro.
Awa, after you now come nowhere, take care and dance. I can't hold a man. What do you want to fuck? What's that for me, huh?
What's the order? I want a Cinderella.
Bright.
Spice. Spice!
How that?
It's your fairy godmother. What's your problem, child? I'm here to grant you your wish.
A wish?
Well, fairy godmother, I told me one guy to dance for mash up the dance. I'm going to talk about Negle and me of the Negle. But I told me not to go so weird.
Grant.
Yes, my fairy godmother, thanks! I'm going to show them girls who of the Negle now!
The needle I pump pump, the needle I pump pump. Tight and good, me hold tight and good. The needle I pump pump, the needle I pump pump. Tight and good, me hold tight and good. Big it up, look how me back it up. Me cock it up, me rock it up. Look how me catch and I sit up. Round about me lift it up like it's a car. I get jack up and make your cocky. I get up like a balloon, I pump up. Lady in the street, but me a bitch in the bed. Wind up me body, them a call me sick head. If me hold you, you go dead. Me a cocky take a reg. Boom it and a bubble and a roll it like a train. I saw me go on when me dip on your man. So me sit down and just a boom on the jam. Wine on the body. I saw me go on when me dip on me man. So me sit down and just a boom on the jam. catch pani side, catch pani, catch pani side. Me and Pamini and us a catch pani side, catch pani, catch pani, catch pani side. The pana go down, look how me wine and I sit down. Me carry it up and bring it down up on the side. Me a sit down, me pussy tight it naffy bung. Me does a catch and I sit down and I go down and have me body boom boom up and down position. Wine up my body and cock up me bottom. No girl a hype and she can't hold the man. Girl see the wine, now we get the house and the van. I saw me crawl pon me and me big me car. I saw me go on and me dip on your man. So me sit down and just a boom pon the jam. Wine pon the body and me tan pon the long. Pon the, pon the, pon the, pon the. I saw me go on and me dip on me man. So me sit down and just a boom pon the jam. Wine pon the body and me tan pon the long. Pon the, pon the, pon the, pon the, pon the. I saw me go on and me dip on your man. So me sit down and just a boom pon the jam. Wine pon the body and me tan pon the long. Pon the. The street, but me a bitch in the bed. Cocky disappear when me a cocky go dead. If me hold you, you go dead. Me a cocky take a rag. Put me tan a bubble and a roll it like a thread. Big it up, the way me back it up. Cocky a get up like a balloon a pump up. Me cocky up, me back it up. Look how me catch and a sit up. And make me body a get up like he's a Kiara Jacob. I saw me go on and me dip on your man. So me sit down and just a boom pon the jam. Wine pon the body and me tan pon the long. Pon the, pon the, pon the.
Enjoy 94.9.
Yes. Visible is important. Visibility is important.
Yes, it is.
We can talk about that.
Yes.
I want to welcome to Broad a very cool person speaking to today here. Something called Threadbare, and it's Natasha Janelle. Welcome.
Hello, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Part of Fringe Festival, Threadbare. Sort of a catchphrase. There is no us and them, there is just us. What is that all about?
I wrote an article for SBS recently that was called My Experience is a Constant Longing for Connection. And it's about the fact that my parents are from Barbados, I grew up in America, and I moved to Australia 10 years ago on my own. And because of the journey that I've had in my life and the people that it's connected me to, I've realized how many people there are, you know, people from mixed ethnicities, people who are immigrants themselves or children of immigrants. You know, people who've had to change their locations or leave their kind of home country or birth country or, you know, country of heritage. And then that journey of both trying to find your ability to reconnect with that, your kind of origin culture, and also to find claim and own your space in the new world, so to speak. Yeah, and what I found is that people can often look immediately at the things that separate us and go, well, you're not really, you know, you're not really one of us because, you know, you weren't born here, or you aren't one of us because of the way you dress, or because of the, you know, the way you identify. But at the end of the day, there is no need to focus on those separations, because we're all in this together. We're all on the same journey of trying to find a way to live, connect, love, and to be here. So I think the most important thing is taking the time to actually listen to each other, get to know each other, and find those points of commonality.
Wow. So that's all packed into a one-hour show.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is very cool.
And the show is presented in 5 languages.
Wow, okay.
So it's in English, Spanish, Farsi, Samoan, and Auslan.
Well, the Auslan one is really interesting because we did an interview for Broad, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, with the other film festival. I don't know if you heard of those guys, but it's for deaf and hearing impaired, and I didn't know it existed until, yeah, you know, I came across it. I think I was going through Eventbrite and booking something online, and then this jumped out. You might like, you know,
yeah,
I like those suggestions.
I like when those suggestions are actually
accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like FB,
yeah,
Facebook, necessarily. But yes, so Threadbare. How long has this been in gestation? Is that the word for it?
Yeah, that's a good word for it. The project started as a fashion show at the last Off the Grid Festival,
okay,
which is a solar-powered music festival in Melbourne. It's the first solar-powered music festival in Australia. Mm. I'm pretty sure it'll be on again this December.
Oh, good. Obviously, yeah, when it's a bit
more
sunny.
A bit more sun, yeah. And that was just a really short piece, but because a lot of the work that I do is both in arts and in fashion, and mm-hmm, in increasing visibility and diversity in fashion in mainstream Australian media, I thought that the Off the Grid Festival was a great way to start that process with this project, because it was about those things around the energy of the earth. And I worked with Tamara Leacock from Remuse Designs because she works with all recycled clothing or recycled, oh, cool, materials, mm-hmm, and organic fibers and things like that. And so we did the first fashion show, and Delaney Cablan and Kathleen Gonzalez choreographed a piece to make it a movement-based theater fashion show, mm, for that event. And then earlier this year, myself, Kathleen Gonzalez, and Eleni Cablan got a grant through Wyndham Arts and also the Women's Circus,
oh,
and we turned it into a kind of a 30-minute-based performance-based piece about identity and migration. And we did that for Park Lounge Series 2 at Midsummer in 2016. And then the project was accepted to the Compass program for Melbourne Fringe, which is great because it's given me an opportunity to bring back in Tamara and reignite the fashion side of it, because a part of my passion for the arts is based in fashion and how we choose to dress ourselves.
Mm.
And now we've turned it into a 1-hour long show, and there's four or five performers on stage each night, depending on who's in the show that night. But then the actual content that's in the show, there's so much poetry and music from performers all over Australia who've contributed to the show.
Now, of course, you've spoken on Art Show magazine, spoken to people there and talking about our voices changing in culture back in November, and talking about identity too. Mm. I suppose that's important. Well, I guess it's because you talk about your identity yourself in the Art Show magazine article, which I have copied and pasted right here.
Mm.
And basically, I guess, about being a woman and within the culture that you've come from, Barbados, and then, of course, migrating to America and then here. What are the differences that you find as a woman in Australia?
What are the differences that I find as a woman in Australia? What I've found more than anything else is the commonalities, not the differences.
Mm.
So I've always had to live kind of between identities. So when I was growing up in America, and I was a child of immigrants from Barbados,
mm-hmm,
I was growing up between those two cultures and never really feeling like I quite fit into either one. And mm-hmm, then as I started to recognize and own my queer identity, I was then having to kind of live with that identity and also see how that was able to fit into both my Afro-Caribbean culture and the African-American culture, which can both be quite homophobic, unfortunately, still. And then it was, you know, coming to Australia and figuring out how, you know, without the, because at least when I was in America, there were other kids who were from, you know, Barbados and Trinidad and other islands, whose parents were from.
Where were you living in America?
In Boston.
Oh, Boston, yeah. Okay.
So even though it's so cold, there is actually a really big Caribbean community.
Okay.
So at least I had that commonality where, you know, and there were lots of kids in Latin America and South America. So we had that in common where we could kind of all have that third culture kid experience. But then coming here and not even having that community, it was, again, that thing of trying to find ways to fit in between. You know, so there's a really big African community here, Somali, Ethiopian, Sudanese, Zimbabwean, and I've found a lot of connections through those communities. And also some of the islander communities, the Samoan, Tongan, Maoris, people I know who have those identities. So it's what I've found every place that I've been or every place that I've gone is that there's, regardless of how much I think that I'm alone and I think that I'm the only person who feels so alone, I find other people who feel the same thing. I'll give you a little example. Fipe Prius is one of the dancers who's in the show, and she's of Samoan and German background. And she does traditional Polynesian dance, and there's a part in the show where, you know, she's dancing, but I really wanted her to embody that that sense of being able to take ownership of a traditional dance in your new setting and in your new life or in your new place. And even just having a conversation with her, myself, and Kathleen Gonzalez, who's Colombian background, we all really quickly realized that we had the same kind of hang-up about how we were allowed to approach the traditional dances from our own cultures.
Oh, okay. Sort of like a hesitancy and a feeling of...
Yeah. It's a... Yeah, because...
I be doing this right?
Exactly, yeah. And it's that thing of... yeah, my thing is all about realizing that there is no right or wrong way to be. Just be. And as long as you are, you know, coming from your heart and coming from a place of love and a place of honesty for yourself, then it's fine. Like, that's what it's supposed to be. Because, you know, like, I do Afro-Caribbean dance. And it's the same thing. Every time I start to move, I have the voices going, you know, oh, this isn't the way that, you know, so-and-so does it. And it's like, well, that's fine. I'm not them.
Yeah.
And
how else does it evolve?
Exactly. You know? Exactly. It needs to be able to evolve. And you need to be able to give yourself that freedom. Yeah. There's definitely importance in holding up the traditional forms as they are. But there also needs to be space to... bring your own voice to that form.
Yeah, yeah. As adapt and change and everything. So you're quite the adapter. You've had to go into so many different environments and adapt.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest skill, my biggest life skill. It's been a double-edged sword, the life that I've had, because on the one hand, I'm really envious of people who do have, you know, they can say, this is my community, these are my people, this is my, you know, this is where I'm going, this is, I haven't had that. I haven't had that because of the amount of movement that I've had in my life. But on the other side, it's made me realize that my people aren't just the people who look exactly like me. They're not the people always who speak the same language as me. They're not always the people that I would expect when I first meet them. Yeah, and I've found my tribe, so to speak. One of the things that I really do, especially with shows like this, is that I try as much as I can to reach out to communities who are not usually reached by the kind of more mainstream media outlets that promote theater and film in Melbourne and in Australia. So, like, I was writing for Broadsheet for a little while, and I made a, you know, when I was there, I was like, hey, there are communities that I'm in who've never heard about this publication.
Yeah.
And as a result, they're missing out on being exposed to some of the great things
and
that
your
are
audience,
on.
Other voices, other ideas.
Yeah. So I made a point of going in and going, these are some things that are really important in these communities that need to have some space. Even with Threadbare, for example, on the Wednesday night, I've actually invited a lot of different people from community organizations to come and see the show, because I feel like those are communities that really need to know that things are happening and things are being done to give more representation to the stories in contemporary Australia. And I also want to have that night be a chance where people can connect and have conversations before and after the show. The show doesn't open with, you know, just music as you find your sheet, as you find your seat. The show actually opens with a performance.
Okay.
Yeah, so there'll be Liam Monkhouse is on for our opening.
Yep.
And then there'll be Sereti Kadir, Wani Lefrere, Ariel Cottingham, who just won the Victorian State Poetry Slam. She's doing our closing night.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, so that'll be the first 5 minutes of the show. So I do urge you, if you do have a ticket to the show, please be on time.
Yeah.
Because it starts as soon as you...
don't want to miss out.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's, of course, at the Butterfly Club.
Yeah.
I got that right?
Yeah.
Cool, cool.
And we're on at the Butterfly Club until Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
There's no show on Tuesday night, but Wednesday through Sunday.
Yeah.
And then we have a special showing on the 27th at Hares and Hyenas. Because the Butterfly Club, unfortunately, isn't wheelchair accessible, we wanted to have a showing somewhere that was.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And also that show will be Auslan interpreted.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're touching a lot of the bases there. That's really great. Well, Natasha, this sounds amazing what you're doing. I wish we had more time to speak, but time is ticking and, you know, time is of the essence and everything. So I want to thank you so much for speaking to us about Threadbare.
Thanks.
Good
so
luck
much.
With the show. Sounds awesome. Starts tonight, Monday the 19th, 8:30 p.m.
Yeah.
It's nice and late or late-ish or...
It's a good time.
It's a good time. It's a good time. And then it follows through Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then on the 27th, jumps over to the Hare Hole or Hares and Hyenas, where it has wheelchair accessibility and Auslan as well. So that's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Great. And thanks for speaking to us on Broad.
Yay.
Can't wait to hear more of your adventures and your journey.
I'll keep you updated.
Thank you. Cool.
I have such admiration for Black Lives Matter. Diaz Aliza Garza, she's one of the founders of Black Lives Matter. I mean, this is a movement that started by two queer women of color that has, like, shaken the political establishment of America, that has forced, like, presidential candidates, forced the president to address it, that has deeply challenged, you know, really many institutions of white supremacy there, and that spread around the world. Yeah, I have such admiration. When Ferguson first happened, I have to admit, I was looking at it and I was like, man, it felt like Occupy was children's dress rehearsal compared to what people are doing here and what people are risking here.
Feminism, and does that play a part in what you do?
I mean, obviously I'm a feminist. I subscribe to the Gloria Steinem definition, which is that it's the revolutionary idea that women are equal human beings. How that plays out with my relationship to other people who identify as feminists, that's a different thing, of course. You know, there's a huge amount of disagreement and debate. But for me, my feminism comes from the belief that no one should be restricted, no one should be marginalized, no one should be trivialized, no one should be made simple, no one should be locked in a cage or even put up on a pedestal because they're a woman, because we're humans, and humans have the right to equality and freedom, and also humans exhibit the full diversity, good and bad, of characteristics, men and women. And I would say that you should never let anyone, not a lover, not a husband, not a parent, not a sibling, you should never let anyone steal from you the sense of your own value and your own dignity. And I should also say that the most valuable thing we have, one of them, is a community that loves us and that nourishes us and that has our back.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Molly Crabapple, and you are listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
From Australia and around the globe, this is the Broadcast News.
The New Zealand Herald has reported that white roses have been delivered to Parliament for each woman MP to mark 123 years since the New Zealand women won the right to the vote. In June, a working group led by Governor-General-designate Dame Patsy Reddy announced that it had reached consensus on principles for addressing equal pay claims for any kind of work that is predominantly performed by women and has been historically undervalued because of gender-related factors such as labelling of the work as women's work. New Zealand became the first nation in the world to grant women the right to vote in 1893. So that's some good news from across the pond there. In the UK, the Nottinghamshire Police Force has reclassified misogynistic harassment as a hate crime and released new statistics to reflect this. The newly reclassified hate crimes include offences such as harassment, kidnapping, possession of weapons, and causing public fear, alarm, or distress. It is hoped that the classifications of these actions as hate crimes will encourage more women to report harassment to the police. That was from BBC News. Over to Australia. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull's department is paying feminist change agent Deborah May almost $200,000 to conduct a three-month cultural audit to find and weed out any unconscious bias against women. The Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet spending comes despite Secretary Martin Parkinson's insistence that this week that his workforce does not discriminate against women. Ms. May wrote on her blog, "I've been labelled a feminist guru, so I think I'll wear it, because I quite like the fact that it has been effective at drawing attention to the work I do, and the work that is yet to be done, creating workplaces and organisations across all sectors, industries and nations that work for women." That was reported on by the Sydney Morning Herald. And Indigenous Senator Malandiri McCarthy has delivered her maiden speech to Parliament. Senator McCarthy spoke about the struggle for land rights and recognition by First Nations people in Australia. She used the speech to call for the statehood of the Northern Territory, saying it would help give Indigenous people a greater say in a constitutional recognition referendum, and made an impassioned statement about the plebiscite on same-sex marriage. A warning, the following soundbite from the Senator's speech includes the mention of suicide, racism, homophobia and domestic abuse. If you or anyone you know is at risk, please visit lifeline.org.au or call them on 131114.
Do we want to play that now?
Let's play the soundbite now, okay. Because it's amazing.
It is amazing. The whole thing is, I think it runs for about 26 minutes or something originally.
Yeah, we've
cut it down.
We've caught
clearly.
The end of that, but we'll post a link to the entire speech.
I posted the transcript a few days ago, but maybe I'll dig it up again. It's always worth checking out. And sometimes the best public speeches are actually, yes, made by people in government.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but in this case, very much so. So let's have a listen to that life-changing historical speech, maiden speech, so-called maiden. I don't know where they come with that.
First ever
from a Senator McCarthy. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, please reconsider your plebiscite bill. Please pull back from this brink of public vitriol and make marriage equality a reality in this Parliament. We need only be reminded of the hateful and hurtful commentary that ended the career of an AFL hero in Swans legend Adam Goods. Don't let that happen here to any of these families in Australia. My Gujiga has allowed me to see both worlds, that of the Western worldview and that of the Yanyuwagadawa worldview. I'm at home in both. I'm neither one without the other. But what of those who cannot balance the two? And what of those who do not have the same? I think of the women in my life struggling just to survive. I call them my mothers, my sisters, my friends, who endured tremendous acts of violence against them. With broken limbs, busted faces and amputations and sexual assaults, I stand here with you. My aunt, who lost her job after 10 years without warning simply because she spoke out about the lack of housing for her families, I stand here with you. To the descendants of the stolen generation still seeking closure, I stand with you. To the people with disabilities forever striving for better access to the most basic things in life, I am with you. And then there is my young cousin sister, who struggled with her identity as a lesbian in a strong traditional Aboriginal culture. Her outward spirit was full of fun and laughter, yet inside she was suffocating from the inability to find balance in her cultural worldview and that of the expectations of the broader Australian society around her. Yeah. So one night she left this world, just gave up, at the age of 23. To the sister girls and brother boys who struggle with their sexual identity, I say to you, stay strong. I stand here with you. To the people of the Northern Territory and the Christmas and Cocos Islands, I stand here with you. Yo, Bowdibada. Thank you, Mr. President.
This is Sonia for Broad on Joy 94.9 Echoes. It's at Theatre Works in Melbourne, September 20 to the 25th, part of the Fringe Festival. And I have in the studio, I'm speaking to two echoes, one echo, Rachel Smith and Philippa Bracansa.
Hello. Hello.
Yes. What is Echoes all about?
Who would like to start? Echoes tells two stories, so they're two monologues intercut. We never actually interact with each other, so they're two separate stories going on. One of the stories, so my character, Samira, is set in modern day. She's a young British Muslim girl who is feeling disillusioned with society, feeling a bit of prejudice after, I guess, 9/11. And she decides that she's going to go to Syria to join ISIS. And then Rachel's character, Tilly. Do you want to go into that?
Yes, Rachel? My character, Tilly. Tilly is from the Victorian era. Mm-hmm. So quite a broad span between the two characters. And she is trying to find a husband, but there are no eligible men in her small town of Ipswich. So she goes off to India to find a husband. And it's about her journey.
So it draws the parallels between what these two women think their duty is to society. Right. So they're both going off to try to figure out what it is that they can be useful for. So the so Samira's character, she goes off to Syria, but she does so after meeting an ISIS soldier online. And so she goes off to marry him and to, you know, to be there for him. Same with Tilly, goes off to be there. But then obviously when they arrive, it's like different to it's what they had expected.
Right. And they have to grow up quite quickly.
Yes. I think.
So it's really about, this arranged marriages and, what, 100 years difference, I suppose, culturally.
Yeah, 175.
Yeah. 175 years difference. Wow. Yeah.
But a lot of similarities in their lives and experiences.
Yeah. Wow, interesting. Because, of course, we're a show abroad and we like to fly the feminist flag. So, yes, do you call this a feminist production, would you say?
There is definitely a feminist undercurrent here. Simply because these two girls feel frustrated in what it is that they can contribute to society. So for Tilly's character in the Victorian era, she is expected to marry a well-off man. So her parents are expecting her to marry a man and to be a housewife, which is something she's not particularly drawn to. My character, she's feeling frustrated, I suppose, because given the current political situation in the UK and in the US, you know, and what's happening in the Middle East, it's difficult for a young Muslim girl to find her place. Actually, at the time when Echoes first went up a year ago in Edinburgh, three girls had just gone from a school in London to Syria. And what happens is, you know, these girls, they go off because they think that that's how they're going to better society, because they're going to help. They're going to be real Muslims. This is what they're thinking. But then the problem is when they get there and it's not really what they thought it was going to be, and they see the atrocities that ISIS are carrying out, they can't really return because now they're terrorists, you know. So not only do they not fit in the place that they've gone to, but then they can't really come back. And it's much more difficult for women because, as we know, ISIS, the way that they treat women, they have a lot less freedoms than the ISIS male soldiers do. So the women have to wear the burqa. They can't go outside unaccompanied by a man. A lot of their freedom is taken away. So there is definitely a beautiful feminist undercurrent, which I think is super cool. And then how they behave once they get there and they realise it's not what they wanted. It's a question of, do they just put up with it and carry on, or do they do something about it and fight
control.
Back?
Yeah,
and they do.
It's fight back. Not spoiling it too much for anyone, but that's a hard thing to think. I mean, when it did premiere, was it an Edinburgh Festival Fringe?
Yes.
Yeah. What was? Do you know? Were you there?
Yes. So when the response. So Rachel, the playing Tilly, she's just come on board. Mm. She's done a week at Brisbane Festival.
Yep.
I started it in Edinburgh a year ago. And the response, it was really interesting because people wanted to talk about the issue of these young Muslim girls going abroad, because it's difficult to understand why they're drawn to this, because we think we know what ISIS is like, and so we wouldn't dream of going to join them. But it was nice to see that people wanted to talk about it, that this was a topic that people were hungry to talk about. Sometimes people shy away from it because it's quite controversial. There are lots of, you know, nuances about it that are maybe difficult to understand. Just these girls in these schools, they can go and talk to their teachers about it, or they can go and talk to their parents, or they can go and talk to their friends, but they're not really going to understand. So the teachers are now responsible for finding out if any of these young people are becoming radicalized, and the teachers have to tell the police. And there was a case of a girl whose teacher did go to the police, and her passport was taken away, all of her sister's passports were taken away, and that's the sort of reaction that they get.
And to get prepared for this character, how much did you yourself investigate and research?
There was a lot of research involved. So Samira. So Echoes is written by wonderful, wonderful writer Henry Naylor, who unfortunately couldn't be here, but he did a lot of research for the show. He spent almost 2 years researching it. He actually went out to Afghanistan with a friend of his. This was before the story was established, and so he would tell me lots of the things that he had encountered out there. He would send me articles, videos. So the research that I did was watching. It's all on YouTube. It's all online. Was watching videos of girls who are living out there. There aren't many of the girls. There are lots of the male soldiers, so you can get an idea of what their mentality is and how they treat the women. You can read stories of these girls who went out there and then what happens to them once they've gone. And then the other thing is doing lots of research on the Muslim community in the UK, just finding out what it is that makes these girls feel like they don't fit in to where they're living.
So what would attract them and appeal to them to...
Yeah,
so think about joining.
Exactly. ISIS. So the beginning of the show goes into what's going on at the time in the UK, which is the general election, and how people are voting, and they're voting for a party that's quite right wing, and sort of there's a anti-Muslim feel to it. So just researching that and trying to get into her headspace and trying to understand why it is that she would do that. And actually, it's not so difficult to understand.
Yeah. And these are the things that people don't realise, the results of things like Islamophobia, and these things lead to some people doing something very drastic.
Exactly.
It's running away at the end of the day. It's running away, and it's certainly not a circus they're joining, but... it's a very dangerous time, and for these girls are so vulnerable.
It's true.
On so many levels.
Because when you can't talk to the people you love about the doubts that you're having, and then there's somebody who is listening to you, who is halfway across the world, but they're listening to you and they're saying to you, you know, what you're feeling isn't wrong.
Yes.
You're right. It's just that it's just that you're not in the right, amongst the right group of people. Come to us. You'll see that here is where... You know, and they get told these things, and then they believe that they're going to be doing something worthwhile.
Yes, yeah. It's a real predicament, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if they have any sort of therapist training groups in the UK.
There are a few. Now there are more anti-radicalisation groups.
Yeah.
And actually, it's been interesting. A lot of people have said it would be useful to have Echoes being performed in schools, just to get people talking about it so that it's not this taboo subject.
Well, you'll certainly be busy if they do that. You might have to clone yourself. I don't know. But that's the thing, Echoes. And through the ages, Echoes echoing with what happened to a lot of British women at this time. This is before the suffragette era really kicked off, and it must have been so repressive, because I remember, I think it was Jane Austen, something like that, where she talks about, well, there's not a lot for women to do except needlepoint and wait for a husband.
Yeah, and men didn't want women to be clever and have a voice.
No, just stick to needlepoint and make cups of tea.
Just do what they're told, look after children.
And so your character, Tilly, you know, having to leave, obviously, somewhere where maybe she's more accepted compared to 175 years later, Samira, maybe she's more accepted, I don't know, but still quite cloistered and sheltered and repressed, but then having to move to a country that's totally culturally different for a guy that she's never met, I presume a white person. You'll be a white
husband.
Yeah,
I mean, she joins the fishing fleet, which basically was hundreds of young women going off to find men in India, because that's where they were fighting. That's where all the eligible bachelors were, basically.
So that's there what they called it, the fishing fleet.
The fishing fleet, yeah. She joins the fishing fleet.
Wow.
So, yeah, because there's just no men at home for her. So she has to go find a husband out there, basically. And that was quite a common thing in those times. So
she'd hardly hear about that kind of history, really.
Yeah. I mean, I'd never heard of it before this play, and then I started researching it. It's very weird, just all these women being batched out to find husbands.
It's terrible. It is terrible. It's like we can't... Yeah, but it's happening. It's happening in today's, you know...
Exactly.
Obviously, there's the echo or the reflection of the similar sort of things and the trials, and women are still going through this.
Yeah. And I think Henry does really well is he tries to highlight the similarities of, I suppose, the atrocities of what the British Empire did in the past that we don't really talk about in the UK anymore. Yeah. You know. But there are funny moments in the show.
Yeah. Yes, it's not all serious business.
So the writer Henry Naylor, he actually started out as a comedian.
Yeah. Oh, really?
But that comedic flair is still there.
Yeah.
And it makes...
It's probably necessary.
It is. It really is, because it makes the show bearable. You know, it makes those moments of gloom bearable.
And I think it makes the characters seem more real.
Well, look, thank you so much. Look, time is flying, and we'll just wrap it up there. But Echoes by Henry Naylor, it's on at Theatreworks here in Melbourne. Very lucky to have that. And for a short limited season from September the 20th to 25th, part of Fringe Festival, just go to melbournefringe.com.au/program event and just, just pop in the word Echoes, and that will come up. But yeah, good luck. And thank you for coming in, Rachel Smith and Philippa Brickenser.
Thank you for having us.
That's Echoes. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9. This is Broad on Joy 94.9. We did a 2 hours tonight, extended Broad. And of course, I want to thank the fabulous young actresses we had on there from Echoes by Henry Naylor, nailing it pretty much. It's going to be at Theatreworks Melbourne, September 20 to 25th. Henry Naylor, of course, might remember him. He's been one of the writers, the people who worked with Spitting Image from the 80s and 90s. A brilliant satire, and certainly a very serious topic in this case. So go and see that if you get a chance, and support our theatre. This one's on tour around the world, and certainly he's got a career to watch. We'll be podcasting that, or Jackie will be podcasting the full interview with those two wonderful women very soon, later this week. And also thanks to our fabulous ladies from the Women's Mural Documentation Project, Sally and Danielle, Sally Norfield and Danielle Hakim, who came in earlier in the first hour of the show, and to Michelle and Gina, who also came in the first hour of the show and stayed a little bit longer, but that was good, talking about a Joy woman getting on board. Anyway, we also had the news there, thanks to Jackie, and some light-hearted news, I guess you could say. Oh, don't forget, we did have Natasha Janelle as well, talking about Threadbare. There is no us and them, there is just us. So yes, inclusiveness, intersectionality and diversity. You can catch that at running exclusively at the Melbourne Fringe Festival this year here in Melbourne, Australia. Yes, so we had news and interesting things. But of course, there's nothing like news about masturbation that takes you into 11 p.m. To Suri's show. But yes, what I found on the interwebs, US actress Charlene Woodley wants masturbation to be taught in schools. Yes, indeed. She says, "I've always had a dream of making a book called There's No Right Way to Masturbate," says the Snowden star. Of course, that film's just come out this week. The Snowden actress, who starred in the teen pregnancy drama series The Secret Life of the American Teenager, spoke about the importance of sex education in a recent interview. And she says, "As a young woman, you don't learn how to pleasure yourself. You don't learn what an orgasm should be. You don't learn that you should have feelings of satisfaction. And Woodley may be right. She says, I've always dreamed of making a book called There's No Right Way to Masturbate. If masturbation were taught in schools, I wonder how many or how fewer people would get herpes aged 16 or pregnant at 14. Not sure of the ages there, but hey, all power to her. And of course, she's been doing the rounds in the media lately, with not just with the upcoming film Snowden, but she was on Late Night with Seth Meyers in the US, and she stopped by there alongside Senator Bernie Sanders. She's a Bernie Sanders supporter, of course, in the Democrats, and talking about the North Dakota pipeline access. So we certainly stand with the Indigenous people in Dakota, the North Dakota and Native American people there, to say no, no pipeline. I think it's a brilliant issue, and it's a good, important issue about Indigenous access and rights to the environment and to a cleaner and safe environment too. So all power to them.
A very important cause.
Yeah, standing with Standing Rock, that's it. And, of course, what a time to be alive. I mean, this is some of the other lighter sort of news as such. And this is the 68th Annual Emmy Awards we're on this morning, Australian time. And, of course, four openly LGBTQI and A women are snagged golden statues. So there you go. Firstly, Kate McKinnon won Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series for her work on Saturday Night Live, of course, making her the first SNL actor to win for their work on the sketch show since Gilda Radner in 1977. Of course, she was married, wedded and attached to the late and wonderful Gene Wilder. She was shocked in a most adorable fashion. Well, Kate was anyway. We also had, she thanked Ellen DeGeneres and Hillary Clinton. Not sure if Hillary Clinton's a lesbian or maybe not. But next up, Jill Soloway, of course, took home the award for Best Directing in a Comedy Series for Transparent. And as the only female nominated in the category, it was a doubly awesomeness. Yes, I would say that is true. She took home that award. And, of course, lastly but not Nina Jacobson, one of the executive producers of American Crime Story, took one as well. She's worked on Hunger Games and things like that. And, of course, what's her name? And I've completely forgotten her name now. This is terrible, from American Horror Story. And we don't have her name down here. Oh, my God. This is really bad. Okay. Sorry, people.
I'd help, but I don't have the article in front of me.
Oh, you don't, do you? Well, that is just shitty. Sorry. I'm stumped.
We're 2 hours in.
Look,
it's
we're
been
2 hours
show.
In. I think, we'll just finish it there. Next week, what's happening, Jackie?
What's happening? We've got the director of the other film festival.
Yes.
She came in and did an interview.
Maya Gwen, yep.
Maya Gwen, yeah. So we're going to be playing that on air, and we're also going to link to a video so that you can watch the Auslan interpretation.
Yes, because it's going to be for deaf and hearing impaired as well.
Yeah, it's going to be very accessible.
A radio first for Broad.
Super cool.
We've got a Thrusher coming in too. Alana is going to be coming in with some skater girls, talking about feminism, skateboarding, keeping fit with skateboarding, which is a good idea. Don't hurt yourself. That's all we can say. Wear those knee pads or whatever.
So hardcore.
I know. And we've got Bianca Martin with feminist zines in the Melbourne scene or something like that. And there's someone else, and I've completely forgotten. I'm just doing crap tonight.
Sure. 2 hours in, I think it's justified. We're good.
Justified and sacred. All right, look, thank you so much for speaking to us.
Listening to us.
That's
having
it.
A good time.
I know. Up next, we've got Siri and Urban Dreaming. Here's some messages before we go out. And thank you and good night from Broad.
See you next week.
Bye.
Thank you, sisters. You've been listening to this Broad podcast here on Joy 94.9. Don't forget to tune into us Monday nights at 9 p.m. on Joy. For feminism in your ears.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.